Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gilio. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. We've really attacked a lot of angles today. Our confidence, our nerves entering the week of a postseason game against the Packers. You know, the fact that Hugh Douglas is trying to skate out of a bet he clearly and totally
I mean,
the reality is this. The Eagles defense allowed 17 points per game.
It's crazy.
And that's a loss for you. So I'm at the point now, I don't know where Kyle is. I expect the beard to be green on Friday.
Oh, it has to be.
Yeah, I expect it.
I'm saying, but I won. Go look at the website. What did it say? 17.8 points a game. That's what it says.
I don't give a shit.
I'm just saying, that's what it says.
That's wonderful, but
this feels like a bully tactic.
A little bit.
Of course
yeah.
it is.
I mean, that's, but as the football guys on this show, we need to put you in your place here. So I expect that by Friday. And then, of course, a lot to talk about here with the postseason. 215-592-9494. And then we found out as the show went on, I didn't even expect this. I just said that because they took away Saquon's chance at history, they better not come out slow on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And Hugh just basically went into a whole diatribe about how he's become a Tanner McKee guy.
No, I'm just saying, I pointed out, like, you're sitting here and you're giving ultimatums about something that you know is not going to happen.
Well, I don't know that for sure.
I mean, I do.
I have offensive line,
right.
I don't know that for sure.
But I'm pretty confident that it's going to happen. How many times this season has this offense scored on their first possession? What, three? Four? Maybe four?
Twice or three times, yeah.
Yeah. So let me just play semantics a little bit. So when I hear you say start fast, in my mind that equates to scoring on the first drive, whether that's a field goal.
Absolutely. Let's go.
A field goal or a touchdown.
Yes.
And that's only happened three or four times this year out of 17 times.
But this time they're coming off a bye. They rested their players.
Off a bye the week they played the Browns. Did they score in that first drive on that one?
No, they did not.
So, from the way you're spinning it, or the way you're talking about it, is you expect that a buddy coming off a concussion protocol to go out there and just pick up where he left off at in the Washington Commanders game.
It doesn't have to be just him. I mean, hand the ball to Saquon five times to go to the end zone. I don't care.
When have we – we tend not to – it's really kind of disjointed how that happens. Most of the times we go into games and we try to establish the passing game initially, or we'll run Saquon once and then we'll come back and try to throw the ball, and that doesn't really help and that kind of sputters. So what I'm trying to do is tell you, like, you're expecting all of that, and we kind of know how this is going to go.
Well,
I think they're going to win. Don't get me wrong now.
Yeah.
I think they're going to win, but I think that to help you not have a headache.
I will have one. I'm going to have one.
I don't think you should put that pressure on yourself.
But to me, it's more about what they did yesterday than the whole season. Like, they had a chance at history yesterday, and I know most fans have kind of reconciled what they did yesterday. They sat, right? They sat their players.
Yeah.
They sat their starters. They didn't give Saquon the chance at history. Okay. I mean, I accepted it just like everybody else. But then you better not come out slow with a full week of rest. I expect them to be lively from the jump in this game. And I made the analogy earlier. You know, if Hugh sends us a message tomorrow morning and says, guys, I'm really tired. I could use an extra half hour of sleep. I'll see you at 9:30 instead of 9. You know what Kyle and I would say? All right. But then when you arrive at 9:30, if you come in here half asleep, I think it's okay for me to say, what are you doing, man? Now, if you come in here and you're awake and ready to go, then we're all good.
Well, I hear what you're saying, but you're asking. Like, if I've done this a few times, then you kind of know what to expect. Say if I had a couple weeks where I said, hey, Joe, I'm going to be late, and I came in.
Hugh does not. Hugh's punctual.
Yeah, and I was lethargic. So after a while, especially if I did it 17 times, after a while when I called and said, hey, Joe, I'm going to be a little late, you and Kyle probably say, well, we know the show's not going to get started for at least a half an hour or two because he's not going to be awake. Mm. That's kind of how I feel about this offense.
Well, I'm going to have my expectations.
They might not be on time, but they're going to show up. And I think that's how you should look at it. See, don't let yesterday and the week before that fool you.
I will.
You know what that sounds like with a kid? Well, I will. I'm going to just do it, and I'm going to put
no. I'm going to do what I want.
I'm going to do it. I'm a grown-ass man.
Watch me. All right, let's go to Monty, who's up next on WIP. What's up, Monty?
Hey, I want to talk about the game a little bit and how great Tanner McKee played. I also think he might be a better option in the future than Kenny Pickett, and this is coming from a pick grad.
Coming from a what?
He said a pit grad. He went to school.
Oh, a pit grad. I got you. So, Monty, I don't think that that point is crazy. He might develop into a better quarterback. For me, if they got to go to a backup Sunday, I'm still going to pick it.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's just he just looks like a professional quarterback when he's in the pocket.
Damn right he does.
You get that feeling.
So you're on Team McKee. You're with you. You're on Team Tanner over here.
Yeah, I mean, not this year, but I would love to see him stay with them and not use his trade bait possibly for another team.
Yeah, guess what? He one of them gone.
I think you're right. Either Pickett or McKee's not going to be here.
Yeah, one of them gone.
Now on the Greenbeard, if defense is not really a necessity, why did Cincinnati just fired their defensive coordinator with one of the best offenses out there.
Woo!
They ain't got nothing to do with what we're talking about.
Oh, sure it does.
See, and you've just further proven my point. It's not about the fact that I won the bet. It's about my take. People are more mad about my take, and that's why they want me to dye my beard. But I'm sorry, Monty, that wasn't the bet. That wasn't the bet. My take is still unflappable. It's unwavering.
Oh, it's flapped.
No, it's unflappable.
It's dead.
But you make up. I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying because the defense didn't play well. But if that's still a luxury because they put most of their funds on the offensive side of the ball. So it's kind of like you kind of made my point inadvertently because they have most of their funds invested on the offensive side of the ball. Just saying.
Yeah, but we have Howie and they don't.
We got Howie, and they don't. That I hear what you're saying, and you're right, but they ain't got nothing to do with this bet that we just had.
Can you just acknowledge you lost?
I didn't, but I didn't lose, though.
I mean, Monty, it's so obvious he lost this.
I didn't lose, though. I'm going to ask Siri. Siri, how many points did the Eagles' defense average this year? She didn't hear me.
Siri doesn't know anything.
Siri didn't hear me.
I've moved on from Siri to Alexa. We have Alexa now. Alexa knows
you got Alexa?
More. Yeah, forget Siri.
Alexa kind of, I ain't got Alexa. So
you don't have an Alexa?
I don't have furniture,
call Monty.
Joe. What are you talking about? I don't have furniture yet.
Yeah,
yet.
But you make soap. You have a smoker.
I can't keep track of
what you have and what you don't have.
I have a smoker and I make soap.
The guy over here, he's been here for 2+ years, can't get a coat, but he's got a smoker and he makes soap.
It's getting to the point where my son doesn't want to come and visit me anymore. Because he's like, damn.
That's how I shouldn't laugh at that.
No, but it is, because he's like, when you going to get some furniture? It's terrible.
You make the kids sit on the ground? What are you doing?
No, I got a little air mat. We sit on air mats. We chop it up.
Oh, my God.
You know, but yeah, I'm working on it.
Go get a couch.
First of all, I'm going to get one this weekend. I'm working on it. It just, you know, I got comfortable. I've been busy.
Busy?
Smoking meats and, you know, learning how to barbecue.
Smoking a lot of stuff.
No, that's a misnomer. I don't smoke all the time. I mostly eat.
Smoking crack edibles. Is like a great high.
Yeah, I don't really smoke. I mean, I'm not against the flowers, but I'm, you know, usually
so eat gummies. You haven't told everyone. You got the smoker right before our break.
Yeah.
What did you smoke over break? Chicken?
I've been doing
pork?
Chicken. But I did a what they call a spatchcock chicken.
Excuse me?
It's called spatchcock. Yeah, I think I'm saying it right. Where they basically, you flay it out and you cook the whole thing. Yeah, I messed that up. That chicken was dry as hell.
How long did you cook it for?
No. Well, they give you like a...
It's hard to mess chicken up.
Nah, I messed it up. they give you like a chart to follow. And the first time I did it, the chicken came out a little bit undercooked. So I said, I'll add a couple more minutes.
That dried it out?
Man, that chicken was so dry. I was like, and I don't like to throw food away. I don't, because I'm old school, you know, Southern family. I couldn't even eat that chicken, dog. That chicken was so dry, I had to let it go.
Oh, wow, that's how you know it's bad. He's throwing out food. So it's an experiment, just like the soap making.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that I got to work on. So now my next, I was talking to Sal Stokes yesterday. I'm figuring out, because I'm going to make a brisket, but I need to get my seasoning right. And we're talking to Sal. Sal told me that it takes at least 2 days to cook brisket the right way.
Yeah.
I don't know if I got that kind of time.
We just had like 2 weeks off. Now you need time for a brisket.
No, I'm saying I should have did it on my week off, but I'm going to figure it out.
All right, let's go to Frank in Willow Grove, and then we got to check in on Kiss the Baby here. What's up, Frank?
Well, I don't think the Eagles are going to go too far, and I love the Eagles.
All right, how come, Frank? What do you feel?
Two serious flaws going into this game. Number one, the kicker. And this one's really going to throw you. Number two, the quarterback. That kid yesterday going into a game with third stringers amazed me. 2 seconds, the ball was gone. He didn't panic and run to the right like Hurts does. And every time I see Hurts on the bench sitting there, I'm just waiting for a pigeon to land on his shoulder. The guy doesn't have it. He just doesn't have it.
Do you think McKee's better than Hurts right now?
Yes. I would be more excited if McKee was playing.
I didn't do that.
This is on you.
No, I probably opened
you made
the floodgate.
This a safe space.
But no, this is a safe space. Only thing I said was, I mean, we all saw it, but Frank took it to a whole nother level. I didn't do that.
Mm-hmm. I was very excited to see that kid.
Well, he played well, Frank. And I think he's got a future. And I think the Eagles will either have a good development story as a backup quarterback. Frank, good phone call.
Frank, to get to the next
Or they're going to trade him away this offseason. You know, this reminds me of 2002, Hugh, one of your years here. Donovan got banged up late in the season. And you guys won, if I remember correctly, you won games with Coy and AJ.
Yeah.
That's what it reminds me of. I mean, like, are we going too far here?
It's not. I mean, I hear what you're saying. But it's not the same thing.
Well, AJ was a fifth-round pick, and they eventually flipped him for what, a two?
No, I mean, and we had a really good – they got a really good defense. We had a really good defense. Mm-hmm. But I feel like what I'm saying is this. We all knew what Donovan brought to the table, and we knew – and good that you bring that up, because I think Donovan came back, and he was a little rusty. Took him a while to get going. That's why I think you should lower your expectations just a little bit. But there are certain intangibles that Jalen brings to the table that I'm not willing to give up just because Tanner McKee had fun throwing the ball around the schoolyard with against the New York Giants. Now, I do acknowledge that this offense looks different with him running it. And that could be a number of things. Maybe it's he sees the field better than Jalen. And that's a big deal. You know, even Kenny Two Gloves looked more efficient running offense. But at the end of the day, when it's time, when the rubber meets the road – and this Sunday roll around at what, 4:30?
4:30 kickoff.
Hey, Jalen, my quarterback. I know what I saw. I know what Jalen brings to the table. I'm willing to deal with that. The level of bullying today in 2025 has reached an all-time high.
I have to make an announcement. We've officially reached insanity on Tanner McKee at 1:13.
What are you talking about? I'm just saying.
What do you mean? What am I talking about? You started this 2 hours ago, and no. You've got the Legion of McKee.
I've gotten a deluge of phone calls. No. Like, he's right. That McKee guy.
No.
He can play.
He won six games in college.
All I'm saying is
a college team yesterday.
I'm not leading the bandwagon for Tanner McKee to start. That's not what I'm doing.
You're putting the seeds. You're planting the seeds.
I just said I saw the same thing that everybody else saw. That's it. That's all I said. I saw the same thing that everybody else saw, and I heard the same thing with Marilyn Mike. Shout out to Marilyn Mike doing the same thing. Like, they were gushed. They had to pull it back a little bit.
They were happy for the kid.
They were extremely happy.
It was a preseason
game. As an Eagles fan, why am I yelling? I don't know, but I feel attacked today. But as an Eagles fan, I feel like that it had to be said because we were all thinking it. We were all thinking it. We just didn't say it. Listen, I'm a truth teller. I am the drunk uncle at the barbecue who's learning how to barbecue, by the way. But, yeah, it's one of those things where, hey, you saw it, I saw it, and in the back of your mind, this is what happened. This is the range of emotion that Eagles fans went through. They said, that damn Tanner McKee kid looked pretty good. And then, you know, as the game progresses, you say, I wonder why Jalen doesn't do it like that. And then you're like, well, this is like a preseason game. But then you realize, hold up. Those are the Giants starters. Like, they're starting. They're trying to win.
They're real players, yeah. And you're the bad ones, but yeah.
Wow. But at the end of the day, you know that our best chance to win this playoff game is with Jalen Hurts. That's it. That's all I'm saying.
Of course. Because
you go through the range of emotions. But at the end of the day, Jalen Hurts is your best chance to win this game. And your second best chance
is Kenny Pickett. Even though deep down I think you think it's Tanner McKee.
If the stakes weren't so high, Joe, because they are high, I would probably lean toward. But no, I ain't got time to be trying to switch stuff over in the playoffs. No, I'm not about to do that. I'm going to go ahead and dance with the lady that brought you.
You know what's remarkable?
I
posted some odds yesterday and this morning. The odds for the game, the Eagles favored by 3.5. Now it's up to 4.5. I also posted the odds to win the Super Bowl, the latest ones at FanDuel. You know what odds I didn't post?
What you didn't post?
Which WIP host will be the first one to float the McKee's the guy take?
I did not.
If I'm being honest, the favorites were DeCamera, Eskin, and Gillia.
An agenda.
The long shots were Douglas and
Stop
Reese.
Playing.
And the 30-1 came in on Douglas. I mean, this what a hit on an underdog. All right. Speaking of underdogs, I don't know what the odds were to start the season, but we tried this, a new little segment here. We called it Kiss the Baby. We did it every single week. Can we check in on how the whole thing ended up?
It's time to kiss the baby.
Going to work backwards here.
Okay.
Because I think the most fun thing to do is to rip the person who did the worst.
Okay.
Instead of sell. Like, this is a matter of, this is like more on the, it's not picking your playoff picture. We're eliminating teams, right?
Every week we went through it, we eliminated one team, and the objective was to try to have a perfect playoff field. You had to eliminate teams before they got eliminated on their own.
Yes.
And let's tally it up. Yeah, we did.
So we'll start with Joe, who managed to have the closest playoff picture.
Almost perfect.
You were stuck with the 49ers. Mm. You did not eliminate them in time. So that's pretty well done by you. But the Niners ended up in your playoff picture. That's the only blemish you had. I ended up being stuck with the Cardinals and the Seahawks, but, you know, in fairness to me, the NFC West was a difficult division
to
predict. It came down pretty close to the end, so I managed to miss those two teams, Cardinals and Seattle Seahawks. And then I did eliminate the Vikings after week one.
They only won 14.
only 14 games. They are out of my playoff picture, unfortunately. But the biggest disaster of all of them, guys,
I feel attacked.
It's Hugh Douglas's playoff picture, who managed to be stuck with The Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oh, no.
That's when it started to go downhill for me, when I missed that
the,
one.
The Tennessee
who
Titans.
Just fired their
the
coach.
The Titans, who have the number one pick in the draft.
Yeah, and I let slid on the Titans. Yeah, that one hurt me.
Yeah, that's a bad one. You also left in the Seahawks and the Falcons, who aren't as egregious because, again, those divisions did come down.
Yeah. To the wire.
To the wire. Now, teams that you did eliminate.
I already know which one you're going with. I know one that I eliminated that well, got in by the skin of their teeth.
There's three. You eliminated three that, that are stuck.
I know one of them was the Rams.
Yeah, so you eliminated the Bucs because you refused last week to accept the olive branch that I gave you.
Yeah, you did. You did, but I tried to roll my ATL peeps. So yep. I rolled my ATL peeps on that one.
You also eliminated the... Sorry, I'm just double checking.
Falcons.
The Rams. And you eliminated the Broncos.
The Broncos, the one that, they got in. But,
so you were
rooting
for Carson yesterday.
But hold up, though.
Who stunk.
In my defense, I really wasn't. But in my defense, Kansas City was resting their guys. They rest their guys. And they got in. Who got eliminated because the Broncos got in?
The Bengals and Dolphins.
Yeah, that was a big controversy. The Bengals were crying about that. So they had to fire somebody.
So you have seven blemishes on your record.
Seven?
That's a tough one.
That's a rough.
That was my first. It was my first time.
It was all of our first times. We made this game up.
Yeah, it was my first time.
Okay.
I'm going to go with that.
Yeah, I like that one.
I can respect that.
All right, let's talk to Jen the Poconos. She's with you on McKee. What's up, Jen?
What's up? How's it going?
Good,
Jen.
What's
how you doing?
So, I mean, Hurts hasn't even been ruled healthy for this game. Like, what if we have to choose between Pickett or Tanner? Like, I'm going Tanner.
Wait a minute. See, I didn't say that. I mean, but I understand, Jen. I'm not trying to cut. But that's a little strong.
You're the one saying he sees the field better than Jalen.
No, I mean, you talked
boy,
everyone into this.
It's amazing
you
how
did wonder
I just
that.
I went through I workshopped my feelings throughout the game. That's all I did. And I shared those feelings with like-minded individuals.
And you felt like Tanner saw the field
how
better.
How come when I do this 6 weeks ago, I'm a bad guy?
Because it was the way you said it, Joe.
It's about the messenger.
It was the way you said it. No, it was the way you said it, though, Joe. I just – only thing I did was bring to light what Eagles fans were feeling yesterday. That's all. And now we're in a safe space. And we're allowed to have these safe conversations. That's all we're doing.
Jen, it is a safe space. So you would go McKee if they need a quarterback on Sunday over Pickett?
Yeah, I think I would. I think so. He was so efficient on offense. I think that like all of our offense would thrive a lot more with McKee, maybe even over Hurts as well.
Well, that's a big one. And that's one. See, Jen, that's where I'm not prepared to go. And Jen, good phone call. We appreciate it. So here's Hugh, there is an extra layer to the Pickett-McKee situation.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's establish a baseline. If Jalen's cleared, he plays, right? There's no questions. He's obviously the starting quarterback.
Yes.
The number two quarterback. Now, you said you still would go Pickett because of his experience.
I would go with experience.
But, all right, let me ask you this then. Kenny Pickett has a broken rib. Would you rather a fully healthy McKee as the number two on Sunday or Pickett with a broken rib? That rib's not going to heal overnight.
I'm going to still go with the broken rib.
Okay,
all right. I mean, because he could, there's workarounds for the broken rib.
I know, but he had to come out of the game this past 2 weeks
ago. Yeah, it's workarounds. But I tell you what, say for instance, if we got to the point where both our quarterbacks, starting quarterbacks are hurt, I feel pretty confident that Kenny would hold the fort.
I mean Tanner.
I'm sorry. Yeah, Tanner would hold the fort. But I'm not – but if you ask me to put all my marbles in the one stash – I'm not starting the game with Tanner McKee. I'm not doing that. Not this weekend. Nah.
All right. Our Twitter question sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation. PIDentalCenter.com. Which better describes how you feel heading into the postseason? 74% excited, 26% nervous here. And how about this? Even though Hugh won the bet, which we're not even actually sure if he did at this point, we may have to have a trial tomorrow, should he dye the beard green anyway? 59% say yes, the people continue to speak. You that beard, better
that's
be
pretty
green.
Close though, because I think because I'm telling you, most of those people are mad, and they've proven that
they have the right to be mad
about the defenses as a luxury take. It's not based in anything that's factual. It's just that they want my take to die on the vine, and that's my scarlet letter.
You might be right about this, but when we have a trial, don't we factor in the character? Aren't there character witnesses? So your history plays a role here. You have been anti-defense, and now the numbers are close. We're gonna vote you out.
So who would his character witnesses be?
His character witnesses?
Us. They're not even close.
I'm looking at a free.
And you know what's funny about the character witness? Ain't nobody ride with me on this. I was the first person that popped in my mind, obviously, was Ike, but Ike, I already know how he feels.
Oh, he left you a long time ago on this one. You're all alone. 215-592-9494. Your phone call is coming up, and it is Black Monday in the NFL. We'll go through the firings today and a surprising decision from up in New York, plus other storylines from around the NFL. And we say goodbye to one of our favorites here as well. 215-592-949 for Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Whether you want to
buy.
In a bear market or
sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
what was supposed to happen on the final Mac interception if he didn't get hit and throw the pick?
Yeah, I'm not going to go through the details of the play because you guys wouldn't figure it out. But we'll look at the tape tomorrow and we'll make those corrections.
who told Shad that this was the best team ever assembled? I mean, I can't imagine that him being away from them, that he just decided that on his own.
I don't know. I'm not privy to those conversations that Shad has or who's he talking. I don't know. I can't answer that.
Was it you?
No.
It's the no for me. He said no.
I think it's time we say goodbye to the head coaching career of our guy Doug. I always loved Doug Peterson. He brought a Super Bowl here to Philadelphia. But I think we've seen the last few. I think I'm not sure what's next for Doug. Maybe an assistant offensive coordinator. Maybe he just goes home, sits on a boat, does some TV
stuff.
He's good. I get the sense after listening to Doug this year, it's over. He got fired this morning by the Jacksonville Jaguars, one of the Black Monday firings in the NFL. So Doug out. The other firings we found out about yesterday, as soon as the games ended, I mean, they couldn't wait to go run to this press release to put it out. The Patriots, after 1 year, said, Gerard Mayo, see you, buddy.
Yeah, that's a tough one. But we were talking about that one this morning, and Gerard was in a situation where I think he was contractually obligated.
So they had made him the successor to Belichick, kind of under the radar. So he was basically given that job before they even did a search last year. Like, they moved on from Belichick, and he became the coach, but...
And then when Vrabel came up, I'm assuming, I don't know this for sure, but I'm assuming that he's probably going to be the coach of the Patriots. So it's one of those things where it's when you see it, especially him being an African-American coach, you look at him and be like, damn, that's messed up. But you got to you take all these jobs knowing that you might get fired in 1 year. Hell, when I was throwing my name in the hat for coaching, it was damn near. I told everybody who was coming with me that, yeah, you know, you're probably going to be fired in a year because we don't know what we're doing. So, yeah, it's one of those things, man. It's the nature of the beast. It comes a part of the job.
It is kind of awkward, though, in New England. I mean, think about it. They fire Belichick.
They hyped him up, though.
They fire Belichick to hire one of his former players. Yes. Gerard Mayo was his player. To then fire him for another
player.
It's weird.
And it's weird because they hyped him up and they – gave him the assurances. They knew what he had going into the season.
Which is not much.
Not a whole lot. And for them to do it the way that they did it, you're like, yeah, that's cold-blooded. But, man, I'll tell you, as a former player, that's the nature of the beast.
So here's what we know. The Patriots' job is open. The Jaguars' job is open. The Jets are open. The
Giants are open.
Bears are open. The Giants are not open.
Are you kidding me?
So the Giants put out a press release this morning from John Mara, who... was obviously the chronicle of a lot of jokes this year with Saquon Barkley here in Philadelphia. Giants owner John Mara said he is keeping both Brian Daboll and Joe Shane. So the Giants go 3-14 and are just keeping the whole thing together.
That's great for us.
Sure.
That's great for them.
Not great for, I mean, and them. I don't know if I've ever seen a team be this bad this far into a tenure of a coach and keep the coach. Like, it's one thing if you go 3-14 your first year, right? Like, you got a bad team. Isn't this Daboll's third year?
If everything that happened this season wasn't a fireable offense for either of those guys, then nothing ever could.
How do you get fired?
And as a person who's been fired, you're a little jealous because you're like, damn, how do you get to keep his job? He like won three.
Maybe if Daboll showed up wearing a suit, then they would have fired him.
I got fired wearing a suit. But it's like, dog. No, and then, see... Let's compare and contrast, shall we? Just for a hot minute.
Sure.
We have the type of year, even though we won more games than they won, we have the type of year where we had a collapse towards the end.
Last year. Yeah. 11 wins. And I wanted the coach fired.
And it takes, 2 weeks to come out and confirm that Nick Sirianni is going to stay?
Giants won 3 games.
And they came out the next damn day.
Everyone's back.
Somebody went to bed that night or not, because, you know, you saw that Saquon talking about people having trouble sleeping. And he said, you know what? Let's run this thing back.
Guys? I think we're close. Let's bring everyone back. Everyone's back.
I mean, it just goes to show you, man, how different organizations are ran. Jeffrey Lurie and the Eagles went and bought a yakata and waited and chilled out before they decided what they were going to do. Hey, no, we're going to workshop this one a little bit.
And that was coming off 11 win team.
No, we're going to figure this one out. We're going to sit back. We're going to drink a couple Mai Tais. We're going to really think about what we want to do. The Giants come out the day after they got beat to third stringers. Think about that, Giants fans, the ones that's listening to the show. Thank you very much. That's the team that you support.
Yeah, Peter and Mapleshade.
No, it's a tough day for
Look
Peter.
Look at Nick Sirianni now.
No, that is the team
this is a tough
that
time
you
for Peter.
Support. That's the team that you bought them hard-earned jerseys for and all the other stuff. And they came out the next day after y'all lost to Tanner McKee. And who was the other receiver, one of the receivers?
Anaya
Smith.
Anaya Smith, thank you.
John Dotson.
Jahan Dotson.
You name him, EJ.
Jenkins. And y'all keep Buddy.
Got it, though.
And come out and sent out a press release with confidence. Yeah, everybody, we're running this thing back.
Do you think the person who runs their social mutes the notifications immediately?
Yeah.
No, you know what? Out and take
but
off
see,
the
this,
rest
is,
of the day.
This is why... Especially today. I love social media because it's not so much about the story. It's about the comments.
Yeah, there's a lot going on right now with comments.
The block is hot.
How can their owner possibly justify in his own head if they're going to draft a quarterback next year that they, you know, would hope is going to be their future?
Letting those guys do
and
it.
Let
those guys put their grubby hands on them?
Yeah.
So,
and you know what the unfortunate thing about all that is? Whomever they draft next year. It's going to struggle.
Of course.
And they're going to be fired.
Next year.
Yes.
And then restart.
And then they're going to start the number one draft pick quarterback, Shador. Let's just say Shador.
Deion's already typing up that memo.
You know what I mean?
Now, by the way.
They're
going
to get fired. And now, if it ain't Deion and it's somebody else, they're getting a quarterback that they probably didn't even want.
So what's interesting, we had a guest on yesterday during Countdown to Kickoff. We do the Behind Enemy Lines guest. So it was a guy that covers the Giants, right? And he said something to you that was interesting, that if they keep these guys, they've lowered their standards. It's incredible. The NFC East, it's so clear what the standards are, right?
Mm-hmm.
You were joking, but it's true. We were talking last year about firing Sirianni. And it was a fair conversation. Off 11 wins, and he was in the Super Bowl the year before. That's a high standard that we have here. Like, if you don't win the Super Bowl or get close, we'll just get a new coach. The Cowboys' standard is they haven't even decided on McCarthy. He might take interviews somewhere else, and Jerry wants to keep him.
I've eaten a lot of raccoons.
Okay, so their standard is lost. The Commanders are starting over. Okay, we'll give them some time. But they have obviously had a low standard for a long time with their old owner. And the Giants' standard is so low, they brought back a 3-14 coach and GM who got embarrassed all year.
I mean, and think about it like this too, Joe. Because in a situation like that, you come to town, you get beat the way that you got beat by a third-string quarterback. Say if I was the coach, I would be uncomfortable. I would have what they call bungholitis because I would know or I would feel like my job would be in jeopardy. They don't even let you stew 24 hours. They let you know right away, hey, don't worry about it, dog. We got you. We're going to run it back. That's the crazy thing about it. There was no thought going into, or there was never a doubt that they were going to run this back.
Mm-mm.
In my opinion, regardless of what the outcome of the game was, they probably decided this last week when they beat the Colts that they were going to run this back. That's what it kind of sounds like to me. When they got that victory over the Colts and knocked themselves out of the number one draft pick, they say, you know what, we're just going to run it back.
Yep. So it sounds like they're running it back. The Colts are going to run it back with Shane Steichen. The Cowboys have not made a decision on Mike McCarthy, which probably means they're going to just keep him. And we're still waiting on the Raiders. That's the one that people are waiting on. Maybe Pierce is in or out.
Yeah. It don't look too good for Antonio.
Mm-mm. So Bears, Pats, Saints, Jets, Jags.
But even they, with the season that they've had, they're still, like, they haven't made a decision yet. They're still trying to figure out what they want to do. The Giants.
Giants, they knew right away. This is the guy. We're keeping him.
You know, we could do a lot worse than what we're doing, so we're just going to stay here.
All right, one more quick thing around the NFL yesterday. So most of the game stunk. Your guy, Bryce Young, by the way, you may have hit that one, Hugh. He looks like he could play now.
He came alive. That video that you showed me, him throwing the touchdown pass.
Look, Steph Curry after he shot a three.
Yeah, that was crazy.
It was pretty cool. Yeah, so they're keeping.
Unfortunately, the foul.
Your Falcons?
Well, I'm just saying I feel bad for the friends that I have down there that are diehards.
Well, maybe if they went to Penix earlier,
they'll be all right.
Yeah,
I mean, I ain't got no choice. I mean, hey, I can't worry about What's going on today? We got play. I got a coat to get. I got to get ready for a playoff game this weekend.
You got a coat. You're starting a quarterback controversy in a playoff week. You got a lot going on.
I'm just pointing out what I saw.
Yeah, that's what I do, and everyone yells at me. All right, so one more thing from yesterday. Dolphins have kind of had a rudderless season. No one cares about them. But Tyreek Hill is always interesting. And after the game, after the Dolphins lose to the Jets and they miss the playoffs, let's listen to Tyreek Hill on his future in Miami.
This is my first time I haven't been in the playoffs, man. So, I mean, for me, like I said, man, I just got to do what's best for me and my family, dog. If that's here, if that's wherever the case may be, man, I'm finna open that door for myself, dog. As I'm opening the door. Like, I'm out, bro. You know, so it was great playing here, but.
I don't mean to laugh.
Didn't they just give him a huge contract extension?
Yes, they did. And he told y'all.
I'm out.
He told y'all flat out, hey, I got to go. He said, I can't deal with what y'all got going on here. We ain't gonna go. Who gonna pick up? Well,
someone will trade for
him.
Yeah,
I'm about to say, let me stop. Let me pull that back. Somebody gonna pick up that
salary. Absolutely.
But it's not gonna be a team that he wants it to be.
Well, maybe not. But I have two thoughts on that. One, that is a brazen trade request as the season ends. I'm out. So, I mean, that is what
ain't no request. He told you, I ain't coming back. He basically told you, I'm out. I ain't coming back.
I actually have a weird amount of respect for his insistence on playing in the playoffs. Like, I missed the playoffs once, I'm out. That he has a standard. Tyreek Hill plays in the playoffs.
I mean, yeah, if you look at it like that. Yeah.
That was what stood out to me. He's like, my first time missing the playoffs, I can't do this anymore.
But,
see ya.
You forgot the biggest, juiciest part of this story.
What's that?
Is something happened in the fourth quarter where he didn't go back in.
That's right.
He ain't go back in,
and
Joe.
And McDaniel was asked about it in the press.
Yeah, see, that's the...
Well, maybe
that's
he saw the scoreboard.
He was like,
and
I was told it was not injury related.
Yeah, see, it's something going on there because they're spinning it.
He quit on the Dolphins.
Like that's what I'm about to say. So that's probably why he fired that salvo. This is interesting because he didn't go back in the game. And when the coaches asked about it, like Kyle said... He said, I don't know what was wrong with him, but I heard it wasn't injury related.
Who's the one that retired at halftime? Was it Vontae Davis?
No, Devondre Campbell?
No.
You're talking about Horner?
It was a Bill, right?
Oh, that happened. It did. Somebody quit in San Fran. The linebacker.
Devondre Campbell.
That was okay. Yeah, Campbell. No, Devondre Campbell, yeah.
So the Dolphins just gave Tyreek Hill 4 years, 120 last offseason. I'm out.
Yeah, Vontae Davis retired at halftime in the Bills game.
Yeah, the corner. His brother was the Vernon.
Vernon Davis.
Yeah, I remember that. All right, so Tyreek Hill will be somewhere else next year.
Kansas City.
Man, they ain't going to pick up that salary. But then again, and Patrick Mahomes been doing pretty good with the group that he has.
Yeah, they've won without him. The offense hasn't been as dynamic without him. That's a possibility. Go back.
You think so?
I think so.
Hmm.
Here's where I don't want him to go. Washington has a quarterback on a rookie deal. I do not want them to land him. And they're a problem anyway. Let's make sure.
What was supposed to happen on the final Mac interception if he didn't get hit and throw the pick?
I'm not going to go through the details of the play because you guys wouldn't figure it out. But we'll look at the tape tomorrow and we'll make those corrections.
Who told Shad that this was the best team ever assembled? I mean, I can't imagine that him being away from them, that he just decided that on his own.
I don't know. I'm not privy to those conversations that Shad has or who's he talking. I don't know. I can't answer that.
Was it you?
No.
It's the no for me. He said no.
I think it's time we say goodbye to the head coaching career of our guy, Doug. I always loved Doug Peterson. He brought a Super Bowl here to Philadelphia. But I think we've seen the last few. I think I'm not sure what's next for Doug. Maybe an assistant offensive coordinator. Maybe he just goes home, sits on a boat, does some TV
stuff.
Yeah,
he's
good. I get the sense after listening to Doug this year, it's over. He got fired this morning by the Jacksonville Jaguars, one of the Black Monday firings in the NFL. So dug out. The other firings we found out about yesterday, as soon as the games ended, I mean, they couldn't wait to go run to this press release to put it out. The Patriots, after 1 year, said, Gerard Mayo, see you, buddy.
Yeah, that's the tough one. But we were talking about that one this morning, and Gerard was in a situation where I think he was contractually obligated.
So they had made him the successor to Belichick, kind of under the radar. So he was basically given that job before they even did a search last year. Like, they moved on for Belichick, and he became the coach. But
and then
they
when Vrabel, Vrabel came up, I'm assuming, I don't know this for sure, but I'm assuming that he's probably going to be the coach of the Patriots. So it's one of those things where it's when you see it, especially him being an African American coach, you look at him and be like, damn, that's messed up. But you got it. You take all these jobs knowing that you might get fired in 1 year. Hell, when I was throwing my name in the hat for coaching, it was damn near. I told everybody who's coming with me that, yeah, you know, you're probably going to be fired in a year because we don't know what we're doing. So, yeah, it's one of those things, man. It's the nature of the beast. It comes a part of the job.
It is kind of awkward, though, in New England. I mean, think about it. They fire Belichick.
They hyped him up, though.
They fire Belichick to hire one of his former players. Yes. Gerard Mayo was his player. To then fire him for another
player.
It's weird.
And it's weird because they hyped him up and they gave him the assurances. They knew what he had going into the season.
Which is not much.
Not a whole lot. And for them to do it the way that they did it, you're like, yeah, that's cold-blooded. But, man, I'll tell you, as a former player, that's the nature of the beast.
All right, so here's what we know. The Patriots' job is open. The Jaguars' job is open. The Jets are open. The
Giants are open.
Bears are open. The Giants are not open.
Are you kidding me?
So the Giants put out a press release this morning from John Mara, who was obviously the chronicle of a lot of jokes this year with Saquon Barkley here in Philadelphia. Giants owner John Mara said he is keeping both Brian Daboll and Joe Shane. So the Giants go 3-14. And are just keeping the whole thing together.
That's great for us.
Sure.
That's great for us.
Not great for, I mean, and them. I don't know if I've ever seen a team be this bad, this far into a tenure of a coach, and keep the coach. Like, it's one thing if you go 3-14 your first year, right? Like, you got a bad team. Isn't this Daboll's third year?
If everything that happened this season wasn't a fireable offense for either of those guys, then nothing ever could.
How do you get fired?
And as a person who's been fired, you're a little jealous because he's like, damn, how you get to keep his job? He like won three. You know,
maybe if Daboll showed up with wearing a suit, then they would have fired him.
I got fired wearing a suit. But it's like, dog. No, and then, see, let's compare and contrast, shall we? Just for a hot minute.
Sure.
We have the type of year, even though we won more games than they won, we have the type of year where we had a collapse towards the end.
Last year. Yeah. 11 wins. And I wanted the coach fired.
And it takes, 2 weeks to come out and confirm that Nick Sirianni is going to stay?
Giants won 3 games.
And they came out the next damn day.
Everyone's back.
somebody went to bed that night or not, because, you know, you saw that Saquon talking about people having trouble sleeping. And he said, you know what? Let's run this thing back.
Guys? I think we're close. Let's bring everyone back. Everyone's back.
I mean, it just goes to show you, man, how different organizations are ran. Jeffrey Lurie and the Eagles went and bought a Yakata and waited and chilled out before they decided what they were going to do. Hey, no, we're going to workshop this one a little bit.
And that was coming off 11-win team.
No, we're going to work. We're going to figure this one out. We're going to sit back. We're going to drink a couple Mai Tais. We're going to really think about what we want to do. The Giants come out the day after they got beat to third stringers. Think about that, Giants fans, the ones that's listening to the show. Thank you very much. That's the team that you support.
Yeah, Peter and Maple Shade.
It's a tough day for Peter.
Look at Nick Sirianni now.
That is the team.
This is a tough
that
time
you
for Peter.
Support. That's the team that you bought them hard-earned jerseys for. And all the other stuff. And they came out the next day after y'all lost to Tanner McKee. And who was the other receiver? One of the receivers?
Anaya Smith.
Thank you.
John Dotson.
Jahan Dotson.
Jenkins.
Name him EJ.
Jenkins.
And y'all keep Buddy.
Got it, though.
And come out and sent out a press release with confidence. Yeah, everybody, we're running this thing back.
Do you think the person who runs their social mutes the notifications immediately?
Yeah.
See,
this is why. Especially today. I love social media because it's not so much about the story. It's about the comments.
Yeah, there's a lot going on right now with comments.
The block is hot.
How can their owner possibly justify in his own head if they're going to draft a quarterback next year that they, you know, would hope is going to be their future?
Letting those guys do it.
Let those guys
put their grubby hands on them?
Yeah. So, and you know what the unfortunate thing about all that is? Whomever they draft next year is going to struggle.
Of course.
And they're going to be fired.
Next year.
Yes.
And then restart.
And then they're going to start the number one draft pick quarterback, Shador. Let's say Shador.
Deion's already typing up that memo.
You know what I mean?
Now, by the way.
They're going to get fired. And now, if it ain't Deion and it's somebody else, they're getting a quarterback that they probably didn't even want.
So what's interesting, we had a guest on yesterday during Countdown to Kickoff. We do the Behind Enemy Lines guest. So it was a guy that covers the Giants, right? And he said something to us that was interesting, that if they keep these guys, they've lowered their standards. It's incredible. The NFC East, it's so clear what the standards are, right?
Mm-hmm.
You were joking, but it's true. We were talking last year about firing Sirianni. And it was a fair conversation. Off 11 wins, and he was in the Super Bowl the year before. That's a high standard that we have here. Like, if you don't win the Super Bowl or get close, we'll just get a new coach. The Cowboys' standard is they haven't even decided on McCarthy. He might take interviews somewhere else, and Jerry wants to keep him.
I've eaten a lot of raccoons.
Okay, so their standard is lost. The Commanders are starting over. Okay, we'll give them some time. But they have obviously had a low standard for a long time with their old owner. And the Giants' standard is so low, they brought back a 3-14 coach and GM who got embarrassed all year.
I mean, and think about it like this too, Joe. Because in a situation like that, you come to town, you get beat the way that you got beat by a third-string quarterback. Say if I was the coach, I would be uncomfortable. I would have what they call bungholitis because I would know or I would feel like my job would be in jeopardy. They don't even let you stew 24 hours. They let you know right away, hey, don't worry about it, dog. We got you. We're going to run it back. That's the crazy thing about it. There was no thought going into, or there was never a doubt that they were going to run this back.
Mm-mm.
In my opinion, regardless of what the outcome of the game was, they probably decided this last week when they beat the Colts that they were going to run this back. That's what it kind of sounds like to me. When they got that victory over the Colts and knocked themselves out of the number one draft pick, they say, you know what, we're just going to run it back.
Yep. So it sounds like they're running it back. The Colts are going to run it back with Shane Steichen. The Cowboys have not made a decision on Mike McCarthy, which probably means they're going to just keep him. And we're still waiting on the Raiders. That's the one that people are waiting on. Maybe Pierce is in or out.
Yeah, it don't look too good for Antonio.
Mm-mm. So Bears, Pats, Saints, Jets, Jags.
But even they, with the season that they've had, they're still, like, they haven't made a decision yet. They're still trying to figure out what they want to do. The Giants,
they knew right away. This is the guy. We're keeping him.
You know, we could do a lot worse than what we're doing, so we're just going to stay here.
All right, one more quick thing around the NFL yesterday. So most of the games stunk. Your guy, Bryce Young, by the way, you may have hit that one, Hugh. He looks like he could play now.
He came alive. That video that you showed me, him throwing the touchdown pass.
Look, like Steph Curry after he shot a three.
Yeah, that was crazy.
It was pretty cool. Yeah, so they're keeping.
Unfortunately,
Your Falcons?
Well, I'm just saying I feel bad for the friends that I have down there that are diehards.
Well, maybe if they went to Penix earlier.
They'll be all right.
Yeah,
I mean, I ain't got no choice. I mean, hey, I can't worry about what's going on today. We got play. I got a coat to get. I
got
to get ready for a playoff game this weekend.
You're starting a quarterback controversy in the playoff week. You got a lot going on.
I'm just pointing out what I saw.
Yeah, that's what I do, and everyone yells at me. All right, so one more thing from yesterday. Dolphins have kind of had a rudderless season. No one cares about them. But Tyreek Hill is always interesting. And after the game, after the Dolphins lose to the Jets and they miss the playoffs, let's listen to Tyreek Hill on his future in Miami.
This is my first time. I haven't been in the playoffs, man. So, I mean, for me, like I said, man, I just got to do what's best for me and my family, dog. If that's here, if that's wherever the case may be, man, I'm finna open that door for myself, dog. As I'm opening the door. Like, I'm out, bro. You know, so it was great playing here, but.
I don't mean to laugh.
Didn't they just give him a huge contract extension?
Yes, they did. And he told y'all.
I'm out.
He told y'all, flat out, hey, I got to go. He said, I can't deal with what y'all got going on here. Where ain't going to go? Who going to pick up? Well
someone will trade for
him.
Yeah,
I'm about to say, let me stop. Let me pull that back. Somebody going to pick up that
Absolutely.
Salary.
Absolutely.
But it's not going to be a team that he wants it to be.
Well, maybe not. But, I mean, I have two thoughts on that. One, that is a brazen trade request as the season ends. I'm out. So, I mean, that's it's what
you know,
it is.
Ain't no request. He told you, I ain't coming back. He basically told you, I'm out. I ain't coming back.
I actually have a weird amount of respect for his insistence on playing in the playoffs. Like, I missed the playoffs once, I'm out. That he has a standard. Tyreek Hill plays in the playoffs.
I mean, yeah, if you look at it like that.
That was what stood out to me. He's like, my first time is in the playoffs. I can't do this anymore.
But see ya.
You forgot the biggest, juiciest part of this story.
What's that?
Is something happened in the fourth quarter where he didn't go back in.
That's right.
He ain't go and back in,
and
Joe.
And McDaniel was asked about it in the press.
See, that's the...
Well, maybe
that's
he saw the scoreboard.
He was like, I was told
eliminated.
It was not injury-related.
Yeah. See, it's something going on there because they're spinning it.
he quit on the Dolphins.
Like that's what I was about to say. So that's probably why he fired that salvo. This is interesting because he didn't go back in the game. And when the coaches asked about it, like Kyle said... He said, I don't know what was wrong with him, but I heard it wasn't injury related.
Who's the one that retired at halftime? Was it Vontae Davis?
No, Devondre Campbell?
No.
You're talking about Horner?
It was a Bill, right?
Oh, that happened. It did. Somebody quit in San Fran. The linebacker.
Devondre Campbell.
That was okay. Yeah, Campbell. No, Devondre Campbell, yeah.
So the Dolphins just gave Tyreek Hill 4 years, 120 last offseason. I'm out.
Yeah, Vontae Davis retired at halftime in the Bills game.
Yeah, the corner. His brother was the Vernon.
Vernon Davis.
Yeah, I remember that. All right, so Tyreek Hill will be somewhere else next year.
Kansas City.
Man, they ain't going to pick up that salary. But then again, Patrick Mahomes been doing pretty good with the group that he has.
Yeah, they've won without him. The offense hasn't been as dynamic without him. That's a possibility. Go back.
You think so?
I think so.
Hmm.
Here's where I don't want him to go. Washington has a quarterback on a rookie deal. I do not want them to land him. And they're a problem anyway.
Yeah,
let's make sure.